I am Jimbo Paris, and you are listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.
All right. Hello, everyone. This is Jimbo Paris here. Welcome again to the Jimbo Paris Show. And today we have Mona Sakic. She is the author of Who Am I, Where Am I? She was focused on, you know, spreading happiness and peace of mind all across the world. And she's essentially a spiritual student, and she sort of looks at kind of building sort of this catalog of information through her writings and meditations. And her book, Who Am I, Where Am I? It's very popular. It's across all of Europe. It's in Canada, I believe, and even in places like Japan. So very interesting person. Let's see what she has to say.
Hello, Jimbo. Hi.
It's great to meet you. How are you?
I am very good. Thank you for this beautiful introduction. Thank you so much.
Excellent. Okay. So to start this off, can you kind of tell me a bit about yourself?
So I am a writer. I can't help but writing everything that comes to my mind. Every time I have an idea, an unanswered question, I want to write it. And after, I want to share it with others. So I write books. And basically, in 2016, I had like an internal personal experience with spirit, and it opened a lot of dimensions in me, and a lot of things have changed.
That's really interesting. And can you kind of tell me a bit about your profession?
So I work in mining. It has nothing to do with me being a writer, but every day I write, and I like to publish books.
Okay. And sort of what inspired this idea of your book, Who Am I, Where Am I?
So the book, Who Am I, Where Am I, is a book where I try to answer a lot of questions that kept me awake at night, a lot of unsolved problems, whether spiritual questions or just everyday practical, how to navigate on earth, how to do things, how to get things done, how to deal with people, how to just have answers. Like not all the answers, but answers that help you go peacefully, with confidence, with integrity, with love towards others. That was the point. I woke up one day and I was like, I am going to write every law I know about humans, and to help myself first, obviously, and others to understand more about ourselves.
So what do you provide to other people who are interested in this book you have, and how do you sort of spread that peace of mind and happiness across the world in your world?
So there is an upcoming book that's going to launch on April 25th, and it's a poetry book. It's different, and it's called Back to Love and Beauty. And poetry is very concise. When philosophy, you have to say a lot of things. But I try to share with readers poems that could help them visit those dimensions, love, peace, self-confidence, self-love, and just being happy to be incarnated on earth while knowing you are not just this human being.
What was sort of the writing process of the book? Did you enjoy it? Was it a journey? How was that journey of writing that book?
The process is really writing about subjects that have nothing to do with each other. It's like each subject is a book in itself. And then as you go, there is something that happens in your mind. It's like a puzzle that constructs, and you see that everything is linked, and that for knowing something or for mastering something, you always need to have a lot of other knowledges. So that's what happened. I wrote a lot of subjects, and then it clicked in my mind, and it was very difficult to put them all together in a coherent way. But yeah, it was very interesting.
How did you celebrate when you finished your book?
I stopped writing for 3 months.
Wow, okay.
Yes, I'm like, I'm going to give myself a break. Yeah, and sometimes you have an information and you think you know, and you have it, you master it, But unless you have practiced it, you don't know yet. So sometimes we understand things and we gather information, and life puts us in situations where we have to just practice what we learned. And then we're like, oh, I was just understanding it intellectually. But now that it's in practice, it's way more difficult and it's a challenge. And I am willing to do it, to go further.
Okay. And on average, how long does it take for you to sort of write a book? And could you possibly give people some advice on maybe their writing process
yes,
as well?
Of course, I would love to. So the who am I, where am I would say 3 years, but it wasn't my plan to publish it. But when I decided to, I think it took 3 months. For the poetry book, because it's different, it's just like states or feelings that it's overwhelming, beautiful feelings. And I just have a calling. I just feel like writing. And after, I just gathered poetry and I put them together. And for this book, my next book, it's called Time. So I think it took me 4 months. So I think it's experience shortened the period of time it takes to write a book. And also, I think you get more confident, more disciplined. My history with writing, if it can help, I was just taking notes. And then I tried to make one subject per notes. And then I tried to put them together. So this was the first step. But now I'm more like I try to find a general theme. And under this theme, I write. Along the way, if I think that something comes up and it's interesting, I'm going to add it. Just write. My advice is just write. Don't judge yourself. And one day you'll have enough writings to be able to gather it and to put it in a book.
So if you could possibly tell your younger writing self anything, it would be that. Just write.
Yes, and you don't need to be writing for others. You can be writing just for yourself. You can be journaling. And as you go journaling, you might have ideas coming. And they might not seem relevant at that time. But one day you're going to connect the dots and you will see that even your mind has been through a process of having questions, answering them. And from this answer, there is another question that comes. And you go through this process until you find an ultimate answer where you can't go further. And now you know that you have enough information and to put it together and to write a book.
Okay. And when you were sort of writing that book, what was the most fun part of it?
It was fun, but at the same time challenging. It's trying to marry science and emotions, psychology. So that was the fun part. And still being serious about the two.
How did you sort of mend those things together in a maybe simple way?
I think that there has to be in your mind, and you're going to know when it happens, there has to be a story. It doesn't have to be linear, but there has to be a story. If you go to someone and you tell them about a subject, you have to be able to put them through all the processes so that they understand your point. So when you are able to make a whole story about what you're writing in your mind, you know that you're ready, and then you can put it as an outline. And you go from there.
And sort of just to chime in again on what would be one thing you would want to give up or you would want to sort of trade off in order to become a better writer?
Ego? Maybe. Yeah, I don't have any other question. Answer? Yeah, the ego. The ego comes from time to time. Yeah. But the ego is helpful too because it's very creative. It's an angel and a demon at the same time. So,
What are your personal experiences with the ego?
I used to dismiss it, but as I aged, I listened to it and having conversations with the ego. I'm like, you know, you don't need to defend me. We don't need to defend ourselves. We don't need to doubt. Don't worry. It's going to be okay. And you can outgrow your ego by. When you show your ego that you're committed to what you're doing, whether it's diet, exercise, writing, whatever, when you show the ego that you outgrow it and you outgrow its fears, it starts trusting you and believing in you. So.
And how do you sort of install in someone's mind that happiness and peace of mind are sort of the most important aspects you should look for in your life?
Try it. No, what I mean is happiness and peace of mind. I am really not a believer, but really an experiencer, a knower of the fact that peace of mind and happiness are our true nature. But because of experiences, because of damaging beliefs, things that happen to us or in front of us, sometimes we go into a survival mode, sometimes we go too far in the future where we can't even project ourselves and we stress about something that it's very, very far from us, or we remember things from the past. When you're stressed or anxious, you just need to remember yourself to be here and now is an easy thing to say, but tools would be whatever activity suits you or calms you, or no activity or whatever, just for a day or two. I usually give myself 2 to 3 days and then I come back to being calm. And yeah, like it's a knowledge, but still you need some tools, and the tools are not universal. So everyone has different tools. I know people who go run just to calm their mind. I know people who cook. I know people who meditate. It depends on what your calling is, what makes you not happy, because that's not the point. It's too far away to be happy, but just to be more peaceful, just an activity that calms you down until the storm passes, and then life come back and you find your happiness again.
What's the difference and what's the purpose of the Who Am I, Where Am I book versus the poetry? What was your intention with it?
It's two different worlds.
Oh.
So I have a poem that says, today I don't want to do anything. I don't want to understand. I just want to be in the feeling, my mind at peace, and just, you know, feel the love, feel the beauty. And by beauty, I mean harmony, you know, and just not waiting for anything from anyone, not feeling entitled, not feeling, you know, just being in grace and love. And I'm fine keeping knowledge about how to cook or find the salt, but conclusions and beliefs I want to forget and I want to stop. So just stopping any judgment about myself or about others. And I don't do it every day, but when you go to these dimensions, like from time to time, they really set you up. And I think they cleanse you and they take you to higher vibrations and you're another person and other desires arise. Sometimes you don't even see the horizon, you know. I don't know if you understand what I mean, but sometimes you get to a point where you don't desire anything. And sometimes it's cool, but sometimes it's sad too. So when you're at a reset button, there are desires or callings that come through you, but they come from the heart. They don't come from the mind. Like you don't understand.
No, I do understand.
But no, I mean, I'm like just... when it happens, you don't understand. You're like, where do you come from, this desire? Why would I write poetry? Or why would I do this? Or why would I go to, you know?
So how do you personally find desire in your life? Have you ever hit that horizon, as you would describe at the end of
yes,
the horizon?
Yes, but it's not no horizon at all. It's just that the horizon is not attracting anymore. You don't want the future. The idea of the future is what attracts you. Like when it's not attracting anymore, you're like, oh, I'm going to do this. And don't get me wrong. I like routines. I do routines. Live by routines, especially in my responsibilities. But sometimes you don't see any horizon. There is nothing. You're like, what am I doing here? I'm just basically a robot. And I'm talking about myself. I don't know if everyone experienced that. And then there is no horizon and the future is not attracting. And sometimes there is a desire that arises in you and suddenly it's attractive. But also it gives you energy to also do the basic everyday thing. You don't even see them, like you accomplish your grocery, paying bills, going there, doing work. And you have energy and you don't even feel the effort because you're filled with the desire to transcend it and to, I need to finish this so I can go and do this.
And what's the difference between making things happen versus just letting things happen?
So I think there is two levels to it. First of all, sometimes there is nothing that you can do more than what you've already done. Like you've done everything you could and it's just a gestation period. So you just need to trust. Like when you plant a seed, you can do nothing. You've planted it, you can do nothing anymore. So you just wait and you have faith. So you learn how to use this gestation time instead of being just, I get bored very easily and I get impatient. So I needed to work on myself very much on this. So first, you understand that some things need time and don't need you. Like you've done everything, just don't be there, let it be. And at the same time, if you feel impatient or too focused on it, then you can use that time, like time off, to do something else. But there is another level to it, making things happen versus letting things happen, is that sometimes it's too big and there's too many things in play. And you have to know that things have to align. People have to be certain place at the same certain times and you just do your part and you're not sure it's going to happen. It's not a gestation time. It can happen 50%, 50%, and you can do nothing about it. And it has nothing to do about you. It's just opportunity, chances, and
And what is your favorite quote?
Love is the only truth. Everything else is an illusion. And so sometimes I just find myself writing it on a piece of paper because I like it so much.
And what is sort of the significance of that quote to you?
Depends on your level of consciousness. It can be just, you know, I think the ultimate understanding is that you and I are mirroring each other. And sometimes bad things happen and you want to seek justice or things like that, but you can go above in this code, love is the only truth, and just feel empathy and compassion for everyone and see where they're coming from. And the more you work on yourself, the easier it is to see in others dysfunctions and that, you know, they're just trying to defend themselves or they're in illusory fights or whatever. And so love and compassion, I think, are the highest vibrations of Earth. Forgiveness. It's things that snap you instantly to another level of understanding, of wisdom. And I also think that by loving others, in the long term, you see what happens and why, and you connect the dots. Because you're out of the battle, you're out of me, it's against me, and you're more into it's we are all one. And if I am able to give love in this situation, sometimes I can't, but if I am able to give love in this situation, it's better for me. It's always better for me.
And sort of, I think you mentioned before that you do meditations and writing. How do you sort of do those things? And what advice would you give to anyone who's interested in that and working with you?
So there are two types of meditations. So there is a meditation where you stop the mind, like you go to a no thoughts place where you have no thoughts. You just want to stop the thoughts because you know that they are spiraling, or you just want a peaceful mind. And there are techniques for that. For example, if you have a clock, or a tick, tick, tick. I think this is the easiest one for people who never meditate. So it's a ticking clock and you just try to focus on the ticking. And every time you have a thought, you go back to the ticking, tick, tick, tick. and it's very powerful. You can try to do 5 minutes the first week and then 10 minutes. 15 minutes is the best. But you can start by 5 minutes because in the beginning it's going to be a little bit hard to focus on the ticking. There is breath meditations too, but I think it's better to see with professionals because breath meditations are not good for everyone. It depends on your level. And the other form of meditation is really like just connecting with yourself and whatever feeling comes, you see it, you explore it. Whatever thoughts come, you see it and you explore it and everything has something to say. You don't run away from anything. Sometimes we are strong enough to do this exercise, but other times it's more difficult. So it's up to the person.
All right. So which one do you do? I'm assuming it's the last one you mentioned, right?
I do both. Sometimes I just don't want to think because I feel like I am biased or I've been thinking too much or I've been gathering a lot of information. And when I said earlier, change the course of things in the future, you can do it without stopping your thoughts. So sometimes you just want to stop your thoughts and come as objectively as possible to the question, to whatever you are about to do. And you find yourself resourceful and creative and new ideas. So yes, stopping your mind is a good idea to do. At least like, I think 3 times a year.
And what sort of drives you to sort of find the answers you're looking for to these questions that you may have?
They won't let me sleep. It's like no door is going to open if you don't find this answer. So it starts like that. It's unanswered questions or unsolved problems. And from there, you discover interesting things and interesting things happen inside of you. And like sometimes, if you are willing to work on yourself, if you are humble enough to work on yourself and to be honest and to tell yourself that there are things that you can change in your life, in yourself, if you want to be a better person and not always find the outer conditions or other people are the reason for your problems. Sometimes you observe yourself reacting and you are, who are you? You change so much. You tell yourself, a year ago, I was in the same situation and I reacted completely differently. So, yes.
Okay. And can we just take a, do you have a website by any chance?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, let's take a quick look at it and let's get a bit of a run.
It's going to be refreshed by Monday.
Oh.
Because we are uploading the new book and...
Okay. So, is there any sneak peeks, anything interesting you'd like to give before you reveal?
Yeah, I really would like to thank you for your invite. I really, really appreciate our exchanges. It was a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much. I am not used to talk about myself in in podcasts and, you know, I'm happy I met you today and thank you so much for this opportunity to be on your show. Very thankful.
It's my privilege. And again, thank you again for being on the show. Before we end this off, I would just like to make a few quick shout outs. The first shout out is down below, Judy Ryan. She is our affiliate partner. She works at LifeWork Systems. And she's focused on teaching businesses how to have better collegial environments, to sort of have better relationships, and to essentially create a better environment as a whole for many different corporate businesses that have 30 or more people. So if you would like me to provide you with any guidance on how to start working with her, please let me know. It would be my pleasure. Next thing we'd like to discuss here is our YouTube channel. Subscribe now. We're around 104 subscribers. So I think slightly more, but keep ringing the bell, please. If you want more educational content that can teach you a lot, again, ring the bell and you could get great updates on the show. Next one is our Roku channel. We're on Roku TV, and essentially you can just go there and watch us there. Everything will be on Roku, especially this episode. So yeah, get on Roku channel and check us out. And then, Jimbo Paris Consulting Services. We have a consulting service, and essentially we can automate social media accounts for you. We can give you a growth perspective, and we can help you grow your social media, grow your podcast, and we could also run it for you. So you don't have to do anything on your own. All right. So again, I'm Jimbo Paris. This is the Jimbo Paris Show. Thank you again for watching. Thank you for listening to the Jimbo Paris Show.